Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan with Legendary Production. What's up?
So, wow, it's been a little bit since we got to record. This may have been like our longest stint without recording, I think.
Over Christmas was pretty long, but this is pretty long.
Got
your patience with that, like vacation shows,
rehearsals? I think our people in Germany... they were not happy with this pause.
Well, if they write us a bad letter, I won't be able to understand it. It's okay. It's all right.
You know, they're always the first ones to listen. We put the podcast up, and then you can check with the locations. Always Germany is before anybody.
I want them to reach out to us.
I want to be friends with them. Our friends in Germany. I don't care like which of the German listeners there are. You need to send us an email on the upstaginggentleman.com podcast.
Please.
We want to talk.
We'd love to have you on the show.
I just wanted to talk to you. But it's like they're these anonymous listeners from Germany. They just show up, but they don't tell us who they are. Just one of you. I don't care. Out of all the people in Germany listening, just one. Send us an email. Say, we're your German listeners.
That'd be awesome. We'll become pen pals or email pals.
That would be. So my daughter was just in Finding Nemo. with her eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just kind of like so coincidental because I'm looking around at the props and little set pieces and stuff that they're using. And I'm just like thinking like, oh, these are really good. And then I find out like, they rented from this place out in Redlands. And I was like, is it Legendary Productions? Like, yeah. And so I didn't know that you'd rent it to them. Mm. And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching. I'm just like, these are so cool, the props and everything. And so how long have you been doing that? Like renting to schools and stuff. And then what shows are available?
We've rented quite a bit to a lot of shows. We work with Riverside Children's Theater a lot. We've done Mary Poppins, Finding Nemo, Aladdin Jr. Frozen Junior, we've done Into the Woods for schools, we've done, there's a couple others I'm not remembering, but we've done quite a bit of shows for schools because as a theater, when we try to sometimes rent props or get props, it's so expensive. It's like crazy expensive. Mm-hmm. So we decided when we build our shows to just make it more feasible for schools and their budgets and or the students to have good quality stuff. We decided to build our own stuff or rent or buy, not rent, to buy or build, so then we can give it to kids so they have access to good quality stuff. So we do it at a very low price compared to the market. But we've been doing that for a while. Honestly, since COVID. We were doing that during COVID because a lot of stuff shut down during COVID. And we were trying to help teachers out and even give props for Zoom videos and stuff. We'd send them props or send them, like, swords or weird things that they could do on Zoom for the kids or breastplates and shields. We would give them kind of, like, small set pieces to use as backdrops. Because I know you can use digital backdrops, mm-hmm. but they want a little bit more interactive so they can get up and walk around with the sets and stuff. So we've kind of been doing that since during COVID, honestly.
Like when I was watching this, I was just like, oh, this is like a new level of creativity that's going on here. I mean, and the thing was, I don't know. That was one of the things I noticed. It's just like these things are so creative for Finding Nemo. And I was like, oh, wow. Will you be adding more shows in the future?
Yeah, we're actually doing Finding Nemo Jr. for our camp now. We're doing that this summer. We're doing a kids camp and we decided to build the props so we could reach out to schools and or other children theater companies and let them know, hey, we have this show. And we're actually doing that for San Jacinto School District. Mm-hmm. One of your teachers there is in charge of the theater department and we're going to team up next year. We're going to pick a show that we're doing here and then we could build the costumes and sets and then share the cost of that. So then he could have good costumes and set pieces because, as you know, Mike, it's really hard to get all your students costumed, set pieces, and props for a decent price. So if you share that, and then the kids can feel like they're doing something of quality and make them be more involved and invested in it. So, and we have a very talented prop person right now. Her name's Tish. she's on fire for that, because honestly, it's too overwhelming for me to do. Like, I've done props for shows, and it's, I get to the point where I'm like, okay, choose the director, choose your props. It's a big job. But she's like, hey, I believe in Legendary. I believe in what you guys are doing, the quality, the caliber, and just your personalities. I really dig. Let me help make this department a rental department for costumes and props. Let us build, and then we'll rent them out. So she's been really taking that charge and leading that. So she's really talented, and she's helping us out with that right now.
And then you're also down there doing 12 Angry.
Yeah, in San Jacinto, 12 Angry Men. I went down there and helped the teacher I was talking about. I don't know what the rule is on that, but Michael Burns, he's a teacher in that's at the school down there. And he asked me to come in and help with the set. So basically we donated probably about $2,000 worth of set pieces that he could have for his school. Gave him some bricks, some lumber, and some set pieces that he could utilize for every show. Gave him a door frame and doorway so they could have doors and he could do stuff like that. He's just starting out, so donated a lot of that. And then he also hired my other company, Mighty Men Productions, to do the sound and lighting for them. So we gave him a little bit of lighting. They had 6 microphones down there for them, and it was cool. And the kids did a really good job, and it was cool. A lot of times, because of how busy I am in the theater world, in this side of it, I go, 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 and you hear the audience's responses or not responses, but it's nice to see young kids being taught the art. So what you do, Mike, with your students, what Michael does with his, what other Michael does with his students, it's so cool to see the arts instilled in them and the passion behind it growing, that they get to be creative and have an outlet for that. I think it's very important.
Yeah, for sure. And so, yeah, I just wanted to talk about that so that, you know, if there's other schools around listening, maybe they can get in on
some of this. And if we don't have answers, we'll find the right answers for you. If we don't have the right show, we'll tell you where to go to find it. We have a lot of good connections with other theater groups. And we find out a lot of times, oh, I have that show. Cool. And then we can just tell other people about it. It's all about networking and being team players.
And so everything, how do you go about storing all of this stuff? Like, how do you, I mean, so many shows, so many props. I imagine some props could get used for multiple shows. Is this an organizational nightmare to keep all this?
It is straight? Up until about 6 months ago, it was very much underneath our seats. We'd have bins and every bin was labeled like kitchenware, Annie props, or Little Shop of Horrors props, or whatever. It was all labeled. But a lot of times those props cross over and you're like, wait, that prop could be used for this. We don't need to buy it for a whole other show. So we have a database where Tish is actually helping do. We're putting it in. We have it in our costumes already. Everything has a tag on it. We scan it with a scanner gun. And then it all pops up. Or you type in 1800s clothing. And you type that in and everything from that genre comes up. Same with props. You type in kitchenware. All kitchenware. And you can be specific. Modern kitchenware. Historical, whatever you want to say, a medieval. So it's all in a database, and it's starting. We're getting more locked in with that. It's in the process right now, but being under storage is huge, and we're running out of storage, which I never thought we'd say here. But we put all our props underneath our seats at the theater and under our stage, and then also up on racks above our scene shop. So we're organizing it, but we're starting to get to a point now where a lot of shows cross over and they belong to the same type of thing. So we don't have to have, originally I was trying to buy every show had a bin. Well, Sound of Music is very close to another, like a Christmas Carol, you know, tableware. Like there's certain things, not the same era, but the same style of stuff. So you don't have to, that's not a good example. But Little Mermaid, like setting up a table for that and setting up a table for Beauty and the Beast would be very similar. So then that doesn't have to be put in there. So we're reorganizing and revamping that. But really it's key to having our program that we have. So that's the key to it. And Tisha's running that and Rachel's been helping.
It just sounds really cool. And then as you continue to grow, add new shows that other schools can check out the props and the costumes. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, just wanted to throw that out for other schools who
reach out to us, maybe
put it on the show. Yeah, reach out, talk to Nathan. Yeah, no, cool. who do they call if they want that? They just call them the office?
They could call Legendary Productions. It'll be either I or Steve Lance or Rachel. It'll go to the right person. So, and sometimes we all do it. And we've also been getting a lot more makeup calls for our Ben Nye makeup, a lot more makeup purchasing. helping the schools out with that. We were able to give a little discount than most places. And at Amazon, you'd never know what you're going to get with the makeup stuff. It says benign, but it ends up not being. So we've been getting a lot more of that. We have school packs, little school kits that we've been selling, and a lot more purchases for that too. So good momentum with that.
So now, what are you going to do if our German listeners call in and they're doing a show?
We'll ship it to you. We'll ship it to you.
Get it shipped.
I might even take a plane trip and bring it to you.
But I was also thinking, you know, not just for schools here, but for, you know, just listeners that are just, you know, all around across the country that, you know, maybe theaters could make this available. I mean, it just seems like this should be something that...
We've actually done a couple, one in Tennessee, and then there was another one in Oregon that we've... And then I'm working on a connection in Montana.
So. But it just seems like with community theaters and their local schools, mm-hmm. like it just seems like this is something that should and, you know, maybe could be going on.
Yeah, it should
everywhere.
It helps with your audition process too. If you have a good relationship with them, they send you to audition for their shows and you're like, it helps grow that new generation.
Because there's this one that, this theater I'm on the board with in Hemet, the, you know, Ramona Hillside Players, mm-hmm. and they're kind of always struggling to get high schoolers or, you know, even junior high, the majority of the shows that they pick don't have that age in there because nobody of that age is going to show up at the audition. And it's kind of the catch 22. It's like they want that age, but they end up not picking those plays because nobody's going to show up.
Yep.
Well, nobody shows up is now because they don't have anybody that age. But they really want that age. So it just seems like, you know, those building those relationships are huge, into, you know, bringing a new life to the community theater once they're out of high school theater. So I want to tell you about like some of the stuff I've been doing.
Yeah, I want to hear.
Because I've actually been like pretty excited about this. So one of the things like I've been doing with my school is we teach this CTE program, which is career and technical education. And this is for people that they kind of don't want to take the college path. They just want to be placed. In a career.
Right.
Like they don't want to take a bunch of other stuff that they're not going to use other classes. They only want to focus on, you know, this whatever it is that they're doing.
Right.
And so I went through and got the CTE credential, which to do that you have to prove that you don't just teach it, but that you kind of live this outside of the classroom, that like this is what you do. Like they have one for aviation. So the aviation teacher is going to be like, yes, I am a pilot. Here is my pilot's license. Here's the, you know, places I've flown.
So is it a credential or is it a certificate so you could teach that outside of teaching?
It's a certificate. So you don't need a credential for it. I don't think, I think it is a certificate.
Okay.
So it's not like a teaching credential.
Okay.
And you don't even have to have been, a college graduate, I don't think, to be able to teach this.
Wow.
You just have to know your stuff and have and can prove to them that you've logged your hours. So, like for me, when I did mine, I gave them the link to where they can find my published plays. I, you know, gave them the link to Play With Your Food. Like, here is my dinner theater. You can show up at any time and you can see me doing my thing.
Right.
You can, you know, and you have to log. Like, I think it's a few thousand hours, just showing that. You know, it's not just you show up at school and open up a book and then you
right.
go off and do something else. It's like you are constantly doing this, but it lets you see like, okay, it goes deeper than some other places because it's just like you are teaching them to make a product,
right.
And then, you know, when they go through your program, they should know how to make money at this. And, you know, some of the teachers, they'll bring in like interns and stuff like that, or they'll have, or not in, sorry, not interns. They'll bring in like guest speakers from, you know, industry and stuff like that, whatever industry they happen to, you know, be involved in, and they'll have special speakers. And then afterwards, the goal is like to immediately get the students placed, like maybe as interns or, you know, just so that they can leave high school and get a job in that if that's where they're wanting
that's
to head.
Cool.
But so with mine, we've been working on, you know, we do something different every year. I kind of let the class, the CTE class, not so much, you know, the regular theater classes and stuff like that, but the CTE class would be like, okay, what is it you guys would like to try? And I sort of oversee it, but they make a product. And one of the cool things that I mean, there's a couple classes that I did, and one of them made their own murder mystery that we run a couple times a week. And we've run this since the start of school.
Nice.
And we do that. But the cool thing that we just did with another one of my classes was they came up with this thing. I would just describe it as a mix between an escape room, a huge game of hide and go seek, and a scavenger hunt. And they call it, you know, the Spy Academy. And they kind of piece this together, and I helped them, you know, to some extent. You know, I tried to stay out of it as much as I could and let them do the brainstorming, and I would sort of lead it. I'd, you know, write the ideas on the board and sort of move the discussion along and stuff like that, and you know, pieced it together. But kind of what ends up happening is, so I've got this one, it's a smaller class, it's got 8 students in it, and so all 8 are involved in this. And then we have elementary on the same campus, and I'm just throwing this out there for like anybody who's involved in school theater, you should try something like this. Put something together like this. It is so fun. But I go and I pick up 3 to 4 students from an elementary class. I tell the teachers, like, okay, you can pick people who did well on a test or somebody that you want to give a special reward to, something like that, you know, whatever. And so I go pick 3 of them up, and the teacher can either tell them what they're going to do ahead of time, but a lot of times they don't. They just know that they're going on a surprise. And I get the kids, and I'm like, all right, the moment we walk out of this door, and I'm picturing in my mind third grade right now, because we just did third grade. I tell them, the moment we walk out of this door, we're being watched. You need to be ready to run and follow me. And they start like, what? What's going on? And I get up there and just act like you're having a normal conversation. We are being watched. Like, who? And I'm like, look over my shoulder. Do you see over in the corner? Yeah. Do you see a guy looking our way? Like, yeah. Is he wearing like tan pants and a black shirt? Yeah. Yeah, that's him. All right. And so they're already like, you know, we've got these high schoolers placed and they're watching these little kids. And I was like, there is a clue that's under the blue trash can. He's trying to find this clue. He wants this clue. The moment you pick up that clue, he's going to start chasing us. We need to run. So like, who's going to be brave enough? And by this point, some of them are like real brave. I'll get it. Some of them are like, I don't want to get it. You know, but they go up, they grab the clue, and this guy starts running, and they start screaming, and we all start running. And you know, the guy's instructed to not catch us.
Right.
So if I'm, you know, even if it's obvious where we hide, like, okay, we're going to turn right, he's instructed to run right past us. And then I get him like, okay, you keep the watch here. You keep the watch here. You guys open the clue, see what it says. And they're keeping the watch. And then he's instructed to like come back around the other way and chase us from another angle. We run again, and then the whole thing, one clue leads to other clues, and they like number ciphers and shape ciphers and little things that they have to decode and stuff like that. And then they've got this dossier of different spies on there, and I eventually leave them. I was like, you know, I'm like, okay guys, look at your first contact. I'm gonna disappear in like 5 seconds as we're walking. I'm like, I'm going to go straight and you're going to turn right. Good luck, agents. And I disappear, and then they have to find another good spy. There's pictures of bad spies on there. The bad spies appear and chase them. They give them a run throughout the campus while they're trying to find the clues. And it's, man, we do this a couple times a week, usually about 4 times a week. And it's so fun. And I just throw that out there because, it literally costs us no money to do this. And yet it's in my mind, it's like still this huge show that we're putting on. It's just, you have to be flexible with it. You have to learn some improv skills with it. And I don't know, it just takes a lot of imagination, but like, man, if you have for any schools that are like K-12 and you have a way to do this, and then administration is huge on it because it's, bringing in the elementary and up in with the high school, yeah, and combining that, and the kids are like having a blast out of their mind. Just because they get to be up there, you know, with the big kids and stuff like that.
And then the brain activity they're using for the clues and stuff.
And I don't know. It's just, I loved doing that, man. It's like school year's coming to a close, and that's probably what I'm going to be the most bummed about.
Will you develop another one next year?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've developed them for quite a few years now, but has got to be one of my favorites right now. But I mean, I'm just encouraging, you know, people to do that, especially when they sit there and they're like, man, what do? We got no budget. We can't, you know, start brainstorming and see the type of theater that you can come up with. And it may be different. It may not be a traditional show, but like, holy cow, is this thing fantastic? And they're using all the theatrical skills that they're learning along the way. And it's,
well, and not even the stage part of it, but the management side of it.
The
production management side, the organization, the stage managing, basically. That's really cool.
Yeah. And I mean, we talk about things as like, okay, what are we going to do to up the level of intensity for these kids, and how intense can we make it, and how, you know, just, there is so much to it. And so that's kind of what I've been doing in the, you know, with my classes, and it's been so fun. So anyway, so I just want to talk about that with what, because I know, you know, like I said, I went and saw Finding Nemo and saw that, you know, you've been doing stuff with the schools now. And
yeah, we have that, and we brought our current show, and I have a creative education show.
Yeah. Because I saw that post. You did it for like 400 students,
we
right?
did it for 1,400 students.
1,400?
Yeah, we each day was around 400 kids.
Okay.
It four times. So it was around... It wasn't quite sold out, but we had the capability of doing 16, but we tried not to have two different schools at the same time because we didn't want them to have any, you know, West Side Story thing going on. So.
Yes.
It went really good. And then I have, in Claremont, I recently wrote an Abraham Lincoln show, actually, a creative education.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a 40-minute show, musical, that I'm going to be doing in this next coming year in October. Mm-hmm. So just trying to branch out and just get involved with the kids because we could talk about Mermaid maybe on the next episode if you want,
because
it kind of tags into that. But I think instilling what you were talking about with your kids, I think is cool. And that's something maybe to even think about, maybe you creating kind of a curriculum guide for other teachers to do, Mike. Maybe that's something you could advertise and put out there to help have more hands-on learning and also getting, as you said, younger kids and older kids connected, feeling like they belong, but also... Those questions can be catered to a math teacher or an English teacher, depending on the clues. They could cater it to whatever subject they teach.
Yeah, no, it is a way to just bring in like so much involvement from.
That's something you should really think about, dude.
from anybody. Yeah, and like I would recommend that. Yeah, maybe we'll have to do that. Maybe.
No, seriously, I think that's not a bad thing. Maybe it's a company that goes around and tours schools and does it for them for like a week straight or something.
Yeah, or shows their students how to do it.
Yeah, and then they take it over.
Something like that. I mean, and then the thing is, and you know, I try to tell the students this when I ask them to, you know, okay, write down the process that you did. Remember what the process is. None of this was something that we just nailed the first time around. Like it was all like every time we would do it, and we've been doing it for, you know, quite a while. Would go back and reevaluate what worked, what didn't work, what are the solutions to what can we try, and it's, you know, it's. We did make changes, and it's gotten, right now it's at a point where it's running really, really cool. I mean, it wasn't all that way, but it's, you know, it's also about evaluating your product and seeing, okay, what do we do to fix this up?
Well, I think that's, dude, I think you're onto something here. If it's that successful there, it'd be cool for you to help teach other teachers to do that, and or maybe have a product that you are able to hand off and train or something. That's not a bad idea. That's really clever. It's another way to reach people creatively. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So,
I think that's it.
Is that about our time?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, sorry. It's been a while. And again, a big shout out to our German homies.
Yes. And this is my fault a little bit on this big gap. But we've been really busy. And John was on vacation, I think, too. I think that was part of it. But
this was all John.
Yeah, let's just blame John because he doesn't have a mic right now.
We didn't have a sound man.
No. We'll do better at it. We want you guys to know we're invested. It just... Busy. You hear all the stuff we got going on, but we care.
Well, this is where, like, you know, we do all that busy stuff and then we talk about it.
That's true. It's good. Right. Now that we have to let it out.
Yeah, if we're not releasing an episode, that's why. It's because we're busy doing the things that we're going to talk about on those episodes.
True that.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, hey, thank you for joining us on this episode of the Upstage and Gentleman podcast.
Later.